This is terrifying. According to the CEO of Flock, if you even try to map where his cameras are in your city, you're a terrorist.
There's an organization called DFlock, who semi-well-known now, I guess, if you're interested in this stuff, who take a fairly aggressive approach in terms of counting the number of cameras and having a Discord channel where they talk about potential, you know, activities to move against Flock and stop it expanding.
And then, unfortunately, there's terroristic organizations like DFlock, whose primary motivation is chaos. They are closer to Antifa than they are anything else.
This is pretty ironic, coming from the guy who proudly says he's putting hundreds of thousands of cameras across America.
But to your point, we have really three broad buckets of technology. We have devices that detect evidence. So, you know, we mentioned a camera that focuses on car. We have cameras that focus on people. We have gunshot detection. That's really like things that capture that evidence. And then we have AI that decodes it. So one of the problems that we create unintentionally is, well, if you have 100 license plate readers, you now have a lot of information. How do you decode that with AI? And so we have a product we call Freeform that allows you to type in English language heuristics, something like, I'm looking for a Ford F-150 from the 1990s with a racing stripe and rust on the front. And we'll find that car. And then we have a third bucket of software and hardware that is really, how do you deliver and respond faster? So we manufacture drones. So when a 911 call comes in, instead of having to wait for an officer to show up, boom, you click a button, the drone is there in 30 seconds, in 45 seconds. And then a handful of software products that also help deliver that same kind of rapid response.
And the time frame on when you think crime will
or disappear,
no longer exist?
Well, I think the cool part is that it's really a two-step evolution. Like, step one is you have to solve crime. So if you look at all of the primary research on the top, so not my opinion, but what, you know, academics have studied.
They're not even hiding the surveillance state anymore. They're building it in plain sight. Hell, even the name Flock fits perfectly with Animal Farm, a George Orwell book about a totalitarian state. But it somehow gets even worse. The CEO openly admits that many of his own customers don't even know which type of Flock camera they have.
So we just start doing it and just kind of brute forced through pain and sweat. Our customers have no idea what version of camera they're on. They think they have the Flock camera. We're on version like 4.6 or whatever.
And that's important because these aren't just license plate readers. Some of them can also capture audio and collect digital signals from nearby devices.
This particular device does not have a camera in it. It has a very sensitive microphone connected to AI. It listens for, quote, sounds of distress. The only way it can detect sounds of distress is if it's always listening. And then, what is the threshold for a sound of distress is a matter of policy. When the news segment aired, they showed me sharing my concerns about how this technology is going to be used.
In cities like Atlanta, you're almost always on camera. There's reportedly about one camera for every 10 people.
Atlanta has more surveillance cameras per person than anywhere in the U.S.
It's definitely very observable that you are being watched.
On the way here, I think I passed 20 Flock cameras. So my car was tracked 20 times just getting here. And the question is, do we really want to be living in this type of community where surveillance is now the answer to public safety?
But here's where it gets really disturbing. The CEO keeps insisting these cameras exist to keep everyone safe.
If we're successful, which, knock on wood, we'll keep up that path. In 10 years from now, America as a country is a dramatically different place. Is a place where crime doesn't exist, where people are starting businesses and they're building families. And they will largely look back and they'll be, you know, my kids will be in high school. And in the U.S. history book, there'll be a part about Flock and how, because of Flock, we are a safer, happier, healthier company or country.
Then how do you explain officers allegedly using them to stalk their exes or to intimidate innocent people?
The scariest part about the 18 cops so far found to use the Flock system to stalk their exes, but it wasn't just their exes they were stalking. And we're not just talking looking up license plates a couple of times. This one police chief in Kansas alone ran his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend's license plates hundreds of times, using the information to then hunt them down.
We have cameras everywhere in that town. You can't get a breath of fresh air in or out without us knowing.
Right now, you're watching body camera footage of a police officer wrongfully accusing an innocent woman of package theft at her Colorado home.
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat. High quality. With a nice leather patch made in the USA. Just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776 Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Who took the bomb?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live, final hour. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls. Got a new phone number, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. It is 5:06 p.m. Central Time here on Thursday, the 25th of June, 2026. 512-266-0642. That's the number to dial. Give us a call. Haven't heard from you in a while. Excited to hear what you think about all the goings-on these days. 512-266-0642, War Room Live, now taking your calls. We'll let those fill up. We'll let the phone lines fill up and go to a few more videos. Of course, we've hardly touched on some of the more egregious things exposed about Israel and Iran over the last few days. Our friend of the show, Brandon Weikert, was on. Who was he on with? But he gave a breakdown as to the cost of the Iran war. This was posted by Dr. Simon at Godek. A 12-day war, and the Pentagon had burned through almost a third of its Tomahawks, most of its THAAD interceptors, and so many naval SM-3s and SM-6s, the supply chain now has significant gaps. This happened all in the first 12 days. The White House kept saying the ships were never in danger. Then why did the Navy empty its magazines defending them? You don't fire your most expensive interceptors at a threat that doesn't exist. So for the next half decade, the most heavily armed country on Earth is walking around with a half-empty holster because a foreign government nobody voted for dragged it into a fight it was told would be quick and decisive. And of course, that was always a lie. And those of us who were paying attention always knew it was a lie. And again, we can sort of combine this. And guys, if you can find the video with Brandon Weikert, we'll go to it in just a second. But I just read this during the break, checking X. I got this notification from the outlaw Felix Highlander. And he's responding to the video that we played from Nick Fuentes earlier, where Nick is saying what, again, I could not agree more with, which is that the Trump administration is setting us up to get absolutely screwed because they are talking with bravado and aggressiveness, but they're not backing it up with anything. And so all they're doing is empowering the left. All they're doing is revving up and building up the outrage and the fury and the aggressiveness of the left. Trump's going to be out of office soon, very soon, sooner than you think. And if the left sweeps in, destroys all of us, it's going to get really bad. So I posted Nick Fuentes saying that, which again, it's not like I got it from him, right? I've been saying this for a very long time as well. But the outlaw Felix Highlander at Felix Highlander said, "This makes me very sad, but there's no arguing against it. Trump had a chance to save this country, but Israel raped him and the rest of us. Ironically, this is what will lead to the destruction of Israel as well, because third world quote-unquote socialists are going to seize power and go after them as hard as they will any other white civilization, if not harder. At some point, Trump decided, instead of listening to his America First allies, he was going to listen to suicidal Zionist fanatics, and now Americans are absolutely lost. Again, it does suck. It really does. And I really wish it hadn't gone this way. And I really fear for the state of America once the anti-Israel socialists get power. But once again, it is entirely Trump's fault. It's entirely the Republicans' fault. They have not done anything they promised to do and are basically out of time now. I mean, what do you think it's going to, everything's going to happen in the next 4 months? I mean, this is no. I mean, we're basically at the midterms now. Democrats are going to sweep, as we explained yesterday. See, the Democrats embrace their extremists. They embrace the Democratic Socialists of America. At least they don't actively destroy them and criminalize their beliefs. And so when the Democrat base is mad at the Democrat Party, they have an outlet to express that. They have socialists to vote for that aren't your typical Democrat Party stalwarts. And so they'll get voted in. For the Republicans have spent the last year systematically eliminating any opposition voices within their party. So the Republican base that's mad at the way Trump has handled things has nobody to vote for. They got rid of Thomas Massie. They got rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene. They got rid of Casey Putsch and everybody else that's running on a America First ticket. So Republicans aren't going to be, it's not going to be like Democrats. You're not going to have a sweeping in of a bunch of hardcore right wingers because of the dissatisfaction of the Republican base. The Republican base is going to go to the Democrats because the Republican Party has been so effectively liquidated of any anti-establishment voices. So they're going to lose. So this time next year, would you be surprised if Trump was out of office? I mean, he's supposed to go till 2028, but how effective, how quickly do you think the Democrats are going to act if they get control of Congress and the Senate? I guarantee you they already have the bill of impeachment prepared. It's sitting on a desk somewhere, just waiting to be invoked the first moment they can. And they will. And I, for one, am not going to defend President Trump, just like I don't think a lot of people are, because he kind of deserves it. Kind of deserves it, which, you know, it's a very silly thing. The only way I can make sense of it is that Trump literally made a deal where he was sick of being persecuted. He was sick of being bankrupted. And they must have made a deal because now he's, you know, no IRS investigation for the rest of his life. And his whole family gets to make billions of dollars off insider trading that's never going punished. But, like, does he really think he's protected? The Democrats are not going to listen to any agreement he made with some shadowy forces. Okay, I'll go to war with Iran, but you got to protect me and my family. Who's going to protect you from President Gavin Newsom? It's all so ridiculous. So this is the reason. So, like, the number one reason, you can look at, and this is the irony, too. I saw a comment under my post of the Nick Fuentes video going, it was people like Nick Fuentes that are going to make us lose. What? No, it's the Republican Party failing to live up to their promises, failing to do anything for the American people, failing to address the cost of living crisis, starting a war with Iran, primarily, probably the biggest thing. The Epstein files certainly didn't help. They've made these choices. It's their fault. The people criticizing it are doing the right thing. And if they'd been listened to, if we'd been listened to, the midterms would probably be a walk in the park. I mean, it'd be a cakewalk. Look at 2024. Look at the coalition that Trump was able to gather. If he'd stuck with the messaging, if he'd actually fulfilled the promises, 2028, we'd be cruising to victory. Here's one aspect of the utter stupidity that the Iran war represents. Here's Brandon Weikert on Tucker Carlson.
likely closer to 80% of terminal high altitude area defense interceptors were expended in the course of the war. Over 1,000, that's about a third of our entire stockpile of Tomahawk cruise missiles has been expended. Large quantities of the JASSM missiles, as well as pretty much the entire pre-war inventory of new precision strike missiles, the PrSMs that were used. Also, interestingly enough, because we were told there was never any threat to our Navy, this is why, of course, they never really dared to go through the Strait of Hormuz, the Navy reports that they expended large quantities of their SM-3 and SM-6 naval interceptors, which indicates to me, if I may conjecture here, that there must have been one hell of a fight over the security of our ships when the war was in its kinetic phase. So the White House was lying when they said that the ships were totally safe. Our ships are very much at risk, obviously, from these numbers. Furthermore, there are now significant gaps in the supply chain for those naval defenders. One last bit of data I'd like to deliver here. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. The chart here I have is for the PrSM. We blew through our pre-war stock, which was already low. They're saying the best estimate will be it will be replenished by late this year. The JASSM air-to-surface missiles will probably be replaced middle of next year. Those SM-3, SM-6 Navy defense missiles will take until about mid-2028. Those Patriot interceptors, not until closer to 2030. The THAAD interceptors, and the THAADs are the real important ones. That's not going to come until probably 2030, and the Tomahawks will not be replaced for another 5 years. So we better hope that the Chinese...
So those are your replenishment timelines. Straight from the numbers, Tomahawks will take 5 years to replenish. Patriots around 2030. THAAD will be refilled around 2030. Naval interceptors, mid-2028. Air-to-surface missiles, middle of next year, if you're lucky. So over the next half decade at least, the most heavily armed country on Earth is walking around with a half-empty holster because a foreign government nobody voted for dragged it into a fight it was told would be quick and decisive. And the same people who lied about the ships being safe are now the ones claiming that China is the real problem. Of course, we could go on about how America is being abused and humiliated routinely in the Middle East with no sign of it ending anytime soon. And once again, I'll just reiterate, from the beginning, our take was that this war with Iran was likely the worst decision anyone's ever made. No qualifiers there. Nothing to add. Like, that's, I'm serious. Out of all the decisions ever made by any human being, Trump's decision to say yes to Benjamin Netanyahu was one of the worst ever, okay? One day we'll learn that all together. One day everybody will recognize this and everybody will be shocked that nobody knew, even though we were here the whole time saying it. Let's go now to your phone calls. We've got Johnny Freight Train in Florida. Thanks for calling in, Johnny. You're on the air.
It's a long time no talk. How's your little family doing?
Doing fantastic, sir. I know it really has been a while since we've taken phone calls, and that's my fault. My apologies. We're gonna get back on that train. Good to hear from you, Johnny.
Well, look, I've got one thing to say, and it's short and sweet. I live a long way from Canada. That being said, I've known a lot of Down syndrome people. My wife's sister was Down syndrome. She was as sweet as a honeycomb. The only thing that it took to make that girl happy was a bag of Lay's potato chips. And she was as happy as she can be. And I see a lot of Down syndrome children holding down jobs. And all I got to say, Harrison, is anybody that aborts a child for any reason, in my book, is a murderer, but for a Down syndrome child, it's a double murder, if you ask me, Harrison.
I agree. It's ruthless. It's heartless. And also, by the way, you can't always trust those tests. Like, I've heard of people, I know many, many instances of people who were told their child would be Down syndrome, chose not to abort, and the child was totally fine. So it's like extra crazy to be like, well, this random, you know, scientific test says there's some percentage chance, so kill the kid. It's like, no, it's disgusting. I found it completely disgusting. And yeah, I if you ever listen to I'm totally blanking on his name. Who's the comedian? Shane Gillis. Yeah, thank you. Shane Gillis does entire bits about his Down syndrome family members, how they're like the happiest people you'll ever meet. They're total bros. It's kind of crazy to be like, oh, we don't want to, have them a life of suffering. And every Down syndrome person you meet is just like, I have the best life ever. Hi, nice to meet you. So it's very, very disturbing. Thank you so much for the call, Johnny. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Elijah in Indiana now on line two. Thanks for calling in. Elijah, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to talk about 70. Our brains have 70,000 thoughts per day, and TikTok is a humongous influence on why those thoughts get misled. One of the biggest reasons of education, like you see it in all the newest trends and all the newest everything, is uneducation. Like they go towards the weakest. They literally shortcut every single word, every single everything. Hmm. And if you are watching 2 to 3 hours of TikTok a day, you are actually consuming a good 500 plus new thoughts that your brain would not normally have. And plus, our brains can't even decipher screens from real life. So if you're constantly watching that, you're just overwhelming yourself to death.
Yeah. And, it wouldn't be that big of a concern, except that people seem not to have the ability to like critically think about stuff. I know this is such like a typical complaint, but like literally there are times where like people send me videos and I'm like, do you not understand that they didn't say anything in that video? Like they're saying stuff. I mean, it'll be a 5-minute long video, but if you're actually trying to like determine what it is they're saying, like the narrative they're laying out or the logic they're laying out, it doesn't exist. It's not there. And, ideally people would make these videos would have just basic sort of journalistic understanding of like who, what, when, where, why. That's my big frustration with TikTok. So I'll get a video and it'll just be like, well, it happened again. And it's just like there's like into a narrative and I'm like, but who is doing what? You've got to lay the groundwork. You've got to like tell me what's actually happening here. And when they don't do that, the consumer has to be able to recognize, hey, they left a lot of stuff out here. They told me what they wanted to tell me, but they didn't tell me anything else. And so the problem, I think, is when people are just sort of passively accepting everything that they're being given and they just hear it and it just, gets folded into their brain and one of those thoughts and just stays there with no critical interpretation of like, now wait, is this actually true? It just sort of becomes a brick in the wall that other bricks get piled on top of, and it was wrong the whole time. So yeah, it's totally destructive. But then again, if you're on TikTok watching woodworking videos, it'll show you woodworking videos, and there's no problem with watching a ton of videos of crafts and things. So again, I don't want the government feeling like it has the authority to come in and dictate what our algorithm shows us, but in order to avoid that, we have to not succumb to the temptation of doing this anyway. Maybe if the crew can bring in, maybe I'll play at the beginning of the next segment. PewDiePie just came out with a video that was basically about how to break free of the algorithmic programming. And it could actually be very valuable and sort of in line with what you're talking about, Elijah. You sound kind of young, Elijah. I mean, you don't have to tell me how old you are, but are you like Gen Z? I mean, you think it's having more impact on the younger generations?
Yeah, I'm 21. I'm trying to be an up-and-coming journalist and get away from the four-eyed stare people and get away and get with some people right-minded.
Yeah, you can call it the TikTok stare now. It's like the TikTok voice people have. Well,
yeah.
It's one of these things. It's like, if people want to watch trash, I guess you can go in and stop them from doing it, but just like crime, I mean, it's the same as crime, it's the same as anything else. If people behave themselves, you don't need totalitarianism. If people watch things that are edifying and truthful and productive, then you don't need the government to come in and dictate the algorithm. But when people watch trash or when people act out, yeah, you got to come in with authoritarian measures. It's the whole problem we're stuck in, this whole feedback loop we're involved in right now. Thank you so much for the call, Elijah. Sean in California is on the line about flock cameras. Thanks for calling in, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harrison. I'm going to kind of be brief on this. The flock camera subject is kind of near and dear to me. I'm in Riverside, California, as you know, and Corona is our next city over by way of the 91 freeway heading towards from Riverside towards Anaheim, Disneyland, and all that other good garbage out there. The city of Riverside had an issue a few years back where we had an Australian-owned company that was installing these traffic cameras. Similar concept to try to get, you know, traffic ticket revenue up by reading everyone's plates at the intersections.
Right.
And people in Riverside successfully challenged for the video footage of those ticket cameras to prove it wasn't them driving through the intersections because those cameras would misfire. The corporation claimed it was proprietary evidence and would not submit it for the prosecution, and so it got too costly for Riverside to try to prosecute people over traffic tickets. So that's something the city of Corona and those people out there are going to have to look at, is turning that system of mass surveillance on its head, because what you're pointing out a moment ago with the Down syndrome issue, we're getting to that point real soon where we're going to have that eugenics and surveillance state mix like in several dystopia novels and movies. So I just wanted to put that out there that we kind of been through that, and they are reinstalling the cameras from a UCR through Moreno Valley, basically here in the east end of Riverside. So it's something to keep an eye out on, and I'm going to be reaching out to those folks in Corona, let them know some of the approaches they can take out there. Plus, they're also within range for my county general assembly that I always tell you about. So lots of options for them. So
give us the website, Sean.
Well, I'll have people go to restore-america.org so they get involved with people in their state, or DeJure for Cali, DEJURE, number 4, Cali.org, for those of us that are here in California. So
awesome.
We're going to get this, rocking and rolling. I don't like people in Corona where I grew up being abused like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And this is the problem that I would like to solve in this country, which is that they always get to try to oppress you. There's really no barrier to them installing this stuff and then giving you tickets. It's up to you, and it sucks. It's a burden that we shouldn't have to deal with. Like, we should be able to trust our government not to just try to nickel and dime us all the time and try to accuse us of things that we didn't do. But, like, that's what happens. So you've got to fight back, and you can actually succeed, and the citizens can actually succeed. Stuff like that is really effective. If you go, well, hey, look, in order to give me a ticket, you have to testify against me. Who's testifying? The camera? Is it the person who's looking at the camera? I can't, you know, a robot can't be in court testifying against me. So you can actually get it thrown out that way. And I thought maybe we had a video about that, or as an article I saw, but this has been happening pretty regularly. People being accused of crimes that are caught on flock camera, having to go and prove it wasn't them, which of course can be effective. But in addition to that, people challenging the tickets, saying you're now shifting the burden of proof from the accuser to the accused, which is unconstitutional. You know, guilty until proven innocent is a fundamental part of our justice system. And that includes things like, you know, traffic cameras and traffic tickets. They have to prove that you broke the law. You don't have to prove you didn't. You know what I mean? So, but with the flock cameras, this sort of inverts, and they say, you've been accused of this. You have to prove that it wasn't you. You have to prove that, you know, you were somewhere else, or that this camera is mistaken. And that's not the way our Constitution works. So you have to be able to challenge this at the local level on, you know, grounds of constitutionality or privacy, or that, you know, this is because really what they're relying on is people just sort of pay the ticket, right? They just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the headache. They don't think they can win. So they think, okay, do I want to spend a couple days in the DMV or the local court challenging this, or do I want to pay the $50 fine? I'll just pay the $50 fine. That's what they're relying on. They're relying on you not doing anything to stop this. All you have to do is something to stop it. Really as simple as that. More calls on the other side. I see Jefferson, James, John, Godzilla, and Bart. We'll try to get to all of you on the other side. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. You're running out of time to get your merchandise for the July 4th celebration. To get it delivered in time, you should order by the 28th at the least. Certainly if you're in the continental United States, thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. The 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the Great Fourth Turning, the Great Awakening. Their Great Reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it, taken out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people, it is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America, 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at AlexJonesLive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, AlexJonesApp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I found a cure.
And a lot of it is going to sound crazy, but you gotta hear me out. It's a step-by-step process. And I'm not saying you have to do all of it, but you should do some of it. For me, the solution started with my de-Googling video. That's not to say Google is the whole problem with everything. Clearly, I failed with my de-Googling. I'm still on YouTube. And full transparency, I still use Google Maps. It's too good. It tracks traffic too good. Okay, what am I supposed to do? I tried using like a wrapper for it, and then they banned that. So thank you, Google, for smuggling again. I can't, there's no escape. I wanted to remove all the tracking and telemetry. So I put all those apps that I didn't really trust in a second profile. Social media, anything attention hungry, it went on the second profile. And I swear to God, I cannot understate how much that has changed my life. Those 5 to 6 seconds that it takes for me to switch over to the other profile stops me every time from going, hey, is this what I want to be doing? People get dumb phones to stop themselves from wasting time on their phone, but really, that's all you need. You just need a little bit of friction. Now, my phone is what I want it to be, a device that serves me, not the other way around. I'm not the product. The second thing I did was self-hosting.
You gotta self-host, man. They're coming for you.
The effect that self-hosting did on me was that I am not the product anymore. What the things I use are mine, and because they're not free, I'm not paying with my privacy or getting algo smucked. I think the main difference is that ads and news don't reach me. It's hard to explain the effect that this has on you without actually experiencing it. I'm one of those people that believe how much the subconscious affects you. Even if you are not actively processing information, just the fact that it exists in your peripheral messes with your head. All these services going, it messes with your head, man. How much? Like, even if you're not actively clicking on all these bullshit, you still see it, and I still think it messes with you. Self-hosting, I'm just here, vibing. It's me and the tools I use, nothing else. No noise. Next thing we're gonna do is we're gonna disable shorts. Poof, gone. You don't have to do this. I like YouTube, okay? I don't have to de-Google everything, okay? But I hate how shorts is everywhere. I can't escape it. I search, there's shorts. Homepage, short. I go to someone's channels and shorts are short all the time. If I was running a website, I would want to empower my users. Google CEO, hello? Why can't I disable if I want to? Why? Next, I unfollowed everyone. You don't have to do this. This is definitely a me thing. I just got really fed up. Next, get a DNS blocker. It's kind of the same as YouTube thing that I did, where you block a bunch of stuff, only that it does it on a network level. So you can remove ads, you can remove websites. None of it even reaches your device. I think you owe it to yourself to take some time today and start building your tech fence. That's what I'm calling this, tech fencing. These tech companies don't care about you, so you're gonna have to start caring about yourself. I care about you. That's why I'm making this video. So the cheat code is basically build some friction. It's that simple. Let your brain catch up and make the choice yourself. And also filter out the noise. That's your defense and that's your cure.
Now you understand the disease. You are free. Bon voyage. That's my new outro. Just kidding. Breakfast.
That's PewDiePie. Most popular YouTuber of all time. Who has since, yeah, sort of semi-retired and should really be an inspiration for all of us. Walked away sort of at the top of his game. He has a wife and kids and is just enjoying himself now. Talking about how to break free from the technological enslavement that really is on you. Yeah, no one else can do it for you. There's another interesting video I was watching the other day about unstructured time that sort of dovetails right into what he's talking about, how there used to be these long swaths of time almost every day in people's lives where you just had to kind of sit there, you know, maybe listen to what was on the radio, but like even that, you know, wasn't something you chose. So it wasn't something you were hyper focused on. And basically that now there's like not a single moment that people just allow their thoughts to sort of consolidate. And there's like biological reality to this, to where, you know, one of the reasons we sleep, right, is to rest our brains and give time for the connections to be solidified in our brains between the neurons. And, you know, that happens on a smaller level. Anytime your brain is at rest, it's sort of repairing and consolidating all the information that it's taken in. And we basically don't have that throughout our day when we used to. And there's, you know, physiological problems with that. And there's mental problems that come about with that. So, you know, all of this stuff is tied in together. Remember, yeah, I, for one, don't think it's a coincidence that the logo of Apple is an apple with a bite taken out of it, hearkening back to, you know, the original sin of Eve. But like Steve Jobs didn't allow his kids to have iPads or iPods. They know how bad it is. They know it's not good for you. They push it on you anyway. So you want to truly be superior. You've got to protect yourself from this stuff and have the discipline to keep it that way. That's what the elites do. It's one of the reasons they're the elite, so-called. Let's go out to your calls now. We've got, looks like John is next from the heartland of Texas. Go ahead, John, you're on the air.
What's up, Harris? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right, man.
I'm having kind of trouble hearing you, John. Make sure you're up against the phone there. It sounds like I'm on speaker or something. Can we try that again?
What's up? Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Go ahead.
Awesome. Man, every time I watch your show, man, my heart rate just keeps on going up. I'm too young for that. But I feel like we need to do something as, you know, Christians in Texas, because, you know, we're obviously under attack, right? Let's not play games.
Yep.
Cameras. We got the Muslims. We got the Indians. We got all of it, right?
Yeah.
Even the fraud. And it's coming. All from California, huh? So I think we should go protest just like how the Muslims are. We need to unite, right? So we
need
to spread a word out, you know? Like in different cities, like Austin, you know, like, and even in dirty Dallas, right?
That's, I mean, it's, there. Dallas is getting hit harder than everything. And here's what I find to be a big barrier to our ability to do this. Sort of goes back to what you just said, where, like, when you watch the show and your heart rate pumps up. Yesterday, I talked to my dad yesterday. I was texting with him, and he and my mom were on a long drive, and he's like, yeah, I tried to put your show on. Mom lasted about 2 minutes before she made me turn it off, because it upsets her, because it's like hearing about this stuff is deeply upsetting, and it should be. It is. At the same time, what are you going to not know about it? You're just going to be ignorant to the reality going on? It's like, if this is upsetting, it should be. It's reality. Reality should be upsetting, and we should do something to fight back against this. Again, I'm not yelling at my mom here. You know, she doesn't need to be learning any of, you know, upsetting herself about any of this stuff. But certainly for young guys that are going to have to live in the world that's being created, like, you got to be aware of what's going on. You got to actually understand the mindset that's being imported right now. And that's one of the reasons I try always to play the videos of migrants or whoever else when they're explicit, when they're like, oh yeah, we're taking over. We're coming and we're going to conquer you. It's like, I wish I could just do like a freaking Amber Alert on everybody's phone of one of those videos. Just be like, hey, everybody in America, you understand some portion of the people coming over here feel this way. Now, whether that's 1% or 50%, shouldn't that be a concern of you? For you, shouldn't you be aware and fighting back against people that are just openly espousing their desire for your total destruction? I mean, so I think that's the first step, John, is how do we get people to even recognize what's going on around them when they're constantly told that everything is fine and that anybody talking about the Great Replacement or immigration as a weapon, they're crazy white supremacists. I mean, that as much as we've broken through the whatever it's called, Overton window to a certain point, there's still so many people in our country that cannot even handle the information, let alone the conclusions that come along with it. How do we get this out to people? How do we smash through the Overton window like that, John? You better have an answer. You better have a good answer for me.
Listen. I think I got one.
Okay.
We need door knockers, right? Like, yeah. Everyone's scared to go knock on doors now these days and go talk to people, right?
Yeah.
Like, it can start with anyone in this world, and if
just
it
got
to be me, then soon.
Just go day to, you just go door to door, sort of handing out flyers, sort of here's what you need to be aware of. That could be good, like infographics. Of course, the problem is we've seen stuff like that. In fact, it was a Dallas neighborhood, and I remember reading the story at the time, and it was like people had put up stickers saying it's okay to be white. And the local news was like, if you see evidence of flyers like this, go inside and call the police. It's like, take cover immediately, secure yourself, and then phone the police and they'll take care of it. So, you know, don't get yourself on some sort of list by handing out literature. But yeah, I mean, again, don't let X give you a warped perspective of normies out there. It's incumbent on all of us. Everybody listening to my voice needs to spend some time with normies every single day. Maybe it's at work, you know, but if you don't have a job or you work at home, you got to go out of your way to go hang out where normies are congregating, to hear what they're saying, to ask them questions, because boy, are they on a whole different planet. And how to break through to them has to be our number one mission. And if we're not working constantly to expand the number of people that are aware of this stuff, then really we're just spinning our wheels. We don't want to be preaching to the choir. Most of you already know a lot of this stuff, but I hope every single day, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, who is that person that's tuning in for the first time? Who is that person that just got the text from a friend they haven't talked to in a while. Hey, you should probably watch this live stream. I think it's important. Somebody out there, I mean, there are millions of people listening to us, so there's got to be new ones every single day, and I hope that, you know, they've got the courage to actually face this stuff, because you can't defeat it if you don't even know what's happening. Thanks so much for the call, John. We go now to Godzilla in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling in, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Crusader Harrison, how you doing? Nice talking to you.
Quite well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was wondering if you heard of the Lev Tahor things in South America and Guatemala and Colombia.
Lev Tahor, was that the sort of pedophile gang that was driven out of Guatemala?
Yes, yeah, and they were like, they did a raid and they found like 160 kids
mm-hmm.
that were there and like other places.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of that. I remember the bust happened. The thing I remember most about that was there was a meme that was like, isn't it weird to imagine that there's some like uncontacted tribe in the rainforests of South America that are saying in whatever their language is, the equivalent of these damn Jews. What is wrong with these Jews? And it's because Lev Tahor, they were living in like the middle of a jungle. They were like an outpost in the middle of a jungle, and they were driven out of Guatemala by like these native tribes, like stabbing them with sharpened sticks. Like it was a weird situation there. But yeah, I remember that story. What about it?
Oh, I like this guy online. He was like autistic or whatever. He did like a number comparison to like the amount of Israeli Zionist extremists who were there. And then like other places in the U.S. and throughout the world that had like similar concentrations, and like the numbers lined up like near perfectly. And it was like really bizarre. I don't know if you saw that thread.
Well, I did not see that thread. Sorry. Could you explain that again? The numbers of the Lev Tahor group in Guatemala, they were the same as, well, what do you mean by that?
So like they did like proportionately, like with per capita, like how many people missing compared to like how many people who are in the like Lev Tahor group there. And then they compared it to like other areas where there's like large concentrations of like Israeli extremists. And they found like the missing person numbers were like matching. And this person on X was like, there's like a numerical correlation, you know, and like, we all remember those tunnels in New York and like, them pulling out the mattress, and like maybe it's a mix of other secret societies, but like why I bring it up is like, as you saw with this Iran conflict, like they have this like heart murmur technology, or like even in your iPhone, like the tilt sensor, like where you tilt from like vertical to horizontal, like it's super sensitive. It can pick up your heart rate, how sensitive it is. If you look at the sensor, there's like articles on it. Like they should use that technology to like find these missing kids, these kids that are being tortured and mutilated or whatever the hell's going on, and like save them. You know, I thought I would think it would be a win. You know, the Epstein stuff and all the other trafficking stuff kind of just got like swept under the radar with the Iran war and all these, and the reflecting pool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think it's like a proactive thing that the investigative agencies like the CIA and the FBI can do, and like, you know, the U.S. tax dollars paid for all this. So, like, I think they could be lobbied to use the same technology, you know, not only to find this, like, weapons systems officer in Iran, but, like, find kids who are being tortured, you know, as we speak right now. And, like, obviously, like that other caller said, like, America's under attack. And, like, European people I talk to, like, they're well aware of, like, similar situations happening in European history. And it's because, like, the American people have been turned into American men, especially, have been turned into betas and cucks, and through poisoning a lot and media, you know, multi-prong attack. But like, it's unfortunate, obviously, you know, like I remember how long we've been under attack, like with, remember that missile strike in Miami or in Florida where like the building collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like that RV on like Christmas Day or something.
Yeah. The Nashville explosion, it was Southside, Miami, I think, or Florida. And I can't remember, there are They're either two or I'm mixing up the two, but there was one where the whole building fell. And yeah, then Israel sent IDF teams to Florida to assist with tower collapse rescue efforts. The only time they've ever done anything like that. Totally suspicious. And the speculation was that perhaps John McAfee had a dead man's switch in that building. But again, I can't remember if I'm mixing up that building with another one. You know, I mentioned this yesterday and I never got to it. Yeah, it was that same one, right? Yeah, very, very suspicious. The bombing in Nashville right outside the AT&T communications hub. Bunch of suspicious stuff like that that it does. It gets totally swept under the rug. It, completely insane stories that they just go, yeah, I was a crazy guy and that's all you need to know. Bye. And that's what you get. Yesterday, I talked about this and I didn't get to it, but I have compiled the stories because yesterday I went on something. It wasn't a normal website I go on. I can't remember what it was. Can't remember exactly. It may have been 4chan or something. I can't remember. But it's this infographic or this image that says Valcesia is becoming an Israeli colony. And it's like, what? Another Israeli colony? And so sure enough, here's the story. Valcesia, the Piedmont Valley that is becoming an Israeli colony from Borgo Sesia to Varallo, passing through Cravaliana and Scopello, the Piedmontese valleys are experiencing a demographic renaissance that is quite unique. At the heart of this transformation is Progetto Beta, an initiative that has already brought over 80 Israeli families to Valcesia, approximately 250 people with more than 400 registered members, determined to embark on a new life and invest in an area that until recently was marked by depopulation. On paper, we're faced with a history of pure administrative pragmatism and welcome, often framed under the label of true Varallo model, yet looking at the dynamics through the lens of current international power relations, more profound and political distortions emerge. So I see this and I'm like, wait, there's an Israeli colony being built in the Piedmont valleys of Israel, Italy, an Israeli community thrives at the foot of the Italian Alps, but not all in perfect paradise. And so I'm like, all right, well, I guess we'll add this to the list. And then I start looking into it because I'm like, how many more colonies is Israel building? Because we know they're trying to buy the Albanian land. And by the way, that's directly across the coast, directly across a small strait, the Strait of Orontia, I believe, from the boot of Italy, where Israelis already have a colony, essentially. So it looks like they're trying to buy the land on both sides of the strait there for some reason. And Albania has been in the news all over the place because of the protests. But that's like far, 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 far from the latest. So I start looking it up. I start finding more and more examples. So you've got this. Israeli official suggests purchasing Greek islands as a haven for Jewish people. A representative of the Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz, Kahol Levon Party, raised an initiative last week to purchase islands in Greece using money from the Jewish National Fund, quote, for the good of the Jewish people. Okay, so you've got a valley in Italy. You've got these Greek islands. Then, as I'm looking this up, I think it was on Reddit. Then there was a comment on Reddit that was like, I'm from Kenya. They're doing it here, too. And I'm like, what the hell? So then I go look up this. Why Israel's massive land in Nakuru has raised eyebrows. A controversy over land in Kenya's Rift Valley has captured public imagination and ignited debates about foreign investment, sovereignty, history, and geopolitics. At the center of the controversy is a 520-acre agricultural and residential project developed by Israeli investor Erez Rivkin in Sole Nakuru County. It's an expansive farm featuring greenhouses, irrigation infrastructure, and food production facilities and plans for residential plots and retreats. And the people of Kenya are like, why are we letting Israelis build a colony here? This is crazy. Okay. Then you'd see articles like this. So as I was researching this, it was like half the time it'd be random comments being like, you know, that's happening here too. I'd go look it up. And sure enough, that's what's happening. The other half of the time I'm getting articles that are disproving the claims. But you look into it, and actually it is true, like this one. Nothing proves there's a project to create a private neighborhood for 300,000 Israeli refugees in Argentine Patagonia. And basically, this is kind of a Snopes-like thing where it's like, they say that Argentina will accept more than 300,000 Israeli refugees and establish them in a private neighborhood in Patagonia. But the conclusion is there's no trace of this alleged leak in the media or a report cited by internet users. This is a statement that spreads false narrative based on anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. But if you actually look into the Argentinian-Israeli connection, there's a hell of a lot there, including this. A closer look at Joe Lewis's private army in Patagonia. Who makes up the Pachi clan? The once radical mayor of El Bason recruited unemployed youth from the area. The force is led by lawyer Jose Luis Bianco, who represents Hidden Lake, Joe Lewis's corporation, a police officer, and the pivotal figure of Van Dittmar. But basically, there's this Englishman, Joe Lewis. He was actually a business partner of George Soros and was recently on trial here in America for insider trading. But he owns a private lake in Argentina and apparently, according to this article, has essentially a private army, comprises parastatal groups made up of provincial police and ex-police officers, private security agents, rural laborers, and general laborers from Hidden Lake, in addition to largely unemployed youth recruited from the neighborhoods of El Bason. So, okay, all right, so maybe some Israelis are buying up large chunks of Patagonia and then running it like a private colony, but, you know, it's anti-Semitic to say that. An entrepreneur wants to found an Israeli colony in Salento. The name of the project, conceived by Israeli entrepreneur Orit Lav Marom, says she's trying to implement through specially founded real estate company Coral 37. She's trying to start a, you know, a colony for Israelis in Salento. And apparently they'd try to do this in Cyprus already. Not long ago, we were told you about the malaise spreading in Cyprus over the large increase of the number of Israelis settling on the island, building closed and socially independent communities with schools, kosher supermarkets, and synagogues, all while tensions in the region between Israel and Turkey are steadily rising. Apparently, the risk of such a phenomenon would be repeated in Italy, especially in Salento, Puglia. Okay, so multiple places in Italy. Israelis are building their own sort of, you know, walled communities, as well as Cyprus, the half Turkish, half, I guess it's, I assume it's still, I don't know. I don't know what the state of Cyprus is now. In the 70s, it was taken over by Turkey. Albania protest targets Kushner Link project because they're building it in Albania, again, right across the strait from another one. Coral 37, the project for an Israeli colony in Salento, sparks controversy. Alarm in Cyprus. Israelis buying up entire districts as politicians warn of a threat to sovereignty. Wave of anti-Semitic rhetoric hits Cyprus over the Israeli deal. Israeli soldiers go on vacation to Patagonia on a regular basis in order to help map it. And there's more. This got mixed up somehow with all the other stuff. But there's the oblast in Russia. There's chunks of Ukraine that are being siphoned off. The Israelis are building colonies all over the world. Are we concerned about this? Should we be? Why are they doing it when they have their homeland? Why do they need all these colonies? Is this a global plan of domination or something? Well, what's the deal? I don't get it. Just kidding. I get it.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.